Greetings around the world, New York City, Chicago, Boston. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and I'm Abe. Mike is here. Hello, Mike.
Rush, how are you doing?
Yeah, and we do get into all of those cities, not only New York. We get thousands of people listening from all over the country, all over the world, okay?
So, all walks and crawls of life, as I like to call it.
Yeah, okay, and all animals.
Big right. demonstration last week. What happened?
Okay, you weren't there. Were you there?
I was there in spirit. You know, so these demonstrations, they start... Well, actually, this one was in the afternoon, so I can't really whine. So, but I was working. I had stuff to do. I'm sorry. But we're doing our part with, when it comes to demonstrations. We're talking about it on the air. We're posting it on the internet. So there were about 500 people at these demonstrations, and you have pictures to go with it, right?
Okay, there was video in the news, and, you know, on Channel 7 and on New York 1, and those articles are on the website, so you can see some of the video there. Go.
Okay. Now, the so the one thing I noticed about this demonstration, they had a lot of people there, and once again, I don't know if the press is in the pockets of Uber or if Uber is in their pocket or what, but every time there's a taxi demonstration or some taxi fight back against the injustice from the taxi commission, city hall, and this whole Uber mess, where's the press? I mean, you got 500 people in front of city hall, taxi drivers. That should be a world story. Do we even have a press anymore? I mean, what's going on?
I don't know, Mike. You know, they did give us... You know, they were covered on CBS, it was covered on ABC, and it was covered on New York
okay.
One. Okay, and Cranes wrote an article. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And,
right.
You know, look, our problems are simple, okay? We're getting snowballed, all right?
Yep.
Okay, you know, the mayor supposedly walked out of City Hall during the demonstration and turned his back on the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know,
like no big deal.
Yeah, you think he should have had something to say, you know?
He could have walked. He could have walked up to the mic and just said something to the people there. I mean, they have 500 people. They all got families. That's if he had something to say, that's like 5 or 10,000 votes right there.
This is true, but you know, maybe he's not counting on the votes from the taxi industry, you know, or the uh-huh. all the money that we contribute to the city. You know, I wouldn't say contribute that they squeeze out of us year after year.
Yeah.
You know, the medallion renewals, mm-hmm. You know, 700 plus a year. Okay,
gas tolls and tickets.
Yeah, well, how about all the tickets, right? All the summonses. You know, I mean, it goes on and on. The inspections that we pay for.
Right.
Okay.
The surcharges.
Okay, this is hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
you know, are they looking to just lose that kind of money? You know, the question, you know, is, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and this came up, you know, and I said, well, suppose there were no more yellow cabs in the city, what would they be left with?
What they have now, a mess.
Well, they already have a mess, but suppose they, you know, they wound up with just the TNC cars, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Now, these cars are unregulated, totally unregulated.
Mm-hmm.
So this was sort of like, you know, all that money that the city is reeking in from the yellows would be gone, okay? And
mm-hmm.
or they would wind up with the same thing that they have with the yellows, eventually regulating the S out of the other cars and winding
right.
up with the same thing that they have now. You know, there was nothing wrong with the yellow industry. Okay, you know,
nothing wrong.
Okay, I mean, you know, any complaints that people had about the yellow industry will eventually come to roost with anything that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing with the yellow taxi business that people don't understand. Way back about 80 years ago in 1937, I believe it was, there was something that the city of New York back then created called the Haas Act, H-A-A-S Act, which put a cap on the number of legal yellow cabs in New York City. And that was because you had basically a situation back then that we have now with this whole free-for-all with thousands of cars ripping through the streets and ripping people off and crashes and assaults and stuff like that. And the city said, listen, we can't have this chaos on the street. We have to put an X amount of cabs on the road so that not only is there a safer street, but so the drivers can make money. And that's in the rule book for the TLC. It states in their rule book, in their words, that the Taxi Limousine Commission is supposed to make sure that cab drivers are economically viable. And how are you going to keep your market pretty much the same, but at the same time quadruple the amount of cars on the street? That's the just basic economics says that anybody who's driving one of those cars is going to go broke in that kind of a situation. And right now, the other crazy thing is, while the medallion is going down, the yellow cab business for drivers is getting better. And I'm just wondering, at what point does the medallion catch up to the like brick and mortar cabbie who's on the road? I'm trying to figure out how that works. And everybody's chiseling the retired medallion owners and chopping down their monthly lease fees while all the cabs are going out. How is that possible? You'd probably be an expert on that.
I'm an expert on the getting chipped. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, right now it's like I kept hearing, like you did, oh, there's no drivers. I went yesterday to our friendly neighborhood taxi garage. All the Saturday day shift drivers were on the road, okay? This is a fleet with 200 cabs, and usually Saturday day shift, you got the, your pick of the litter. So I walk in, and maybe there's like, five or six cars, and I say, well, what's up with that car? Can I take this car? He goes, oh, no, that's a steady car. So now they have steady cars for the night shift, and the drivers are out en masse on the day shift, and yet the guy who's retired and renting out his medallion is hearing there's a driver shortage, the business is horrible, the medallion is down. So it's almost like a dream.
You know, it depends who you talk to, Mike. I mean, I hear you telling me this, I'm not there on the scene, okay? But I do see,
exactly.
I do see the webcams. I watch that webcam. I always see taxis rolling through Times Square, okay, on the webcam, okay? And so if you talk to one driver, they'll say, oh, there's no more business. You can't make money. And you talk to another driver, and they're making plenty of money. I mean, something? Even back when everything was fine and there was no controversy and the yellow cabs were getting out, you always found the same thing from the same drivers. Oh, you can't make any money. The truth is that there are always going to be whiners, no matter how good or bad things are.
Whiners. Yes,
okay.
Whiners.
Yeah.
Whiners is the perfect word.
Yeah. I don't know what to think, Mike. I mean, the credit union, Melrose in particular, is doing a lot of foreclosures. Okay, and
right.
what good is a foreclosure if they're just going to take the car and give it to somebody else? Okay.
Well, this is another thing that was at the demonstration. I think one of the drivers, and I might be a little late to the dance on this one. You get your medallion foreclosed. And then apparently now there's a law where you can legally rent that foreclosed medallion out to a fleet for either, was it 2 or 3 years, whereupon that wasn't the case. So without the fleet even having to buy the medallion, they could just run it basically for a credit union that has a foreclosed medallion. Now all this is insane because all they could have done is given the yellow cabbies a fare increase. If you gave us a fare increase, let's say 20 or 30%, the drivers come back, there's more available cabs, it's all over. Everything is wonderful again. And the medallion price goes up.
Well,
the City Hall people, apparently, in their infinite wisdom, haven't done that. And I think the public would understand. And our riding public, our riding customers, they're paying Uber cars double surge, triple surge. They do not care. They own million-dollar condominiums, multi-million-dollar condominiums. They don't care about a couple of bucks on a cab ride. That's the big lie,
Mike,
that's out there.
I just want to say this. On April 6th, there was a TLC meeting, and if you haven't seen it by now, you could go to NYC Taxi News, and right on the front page is a link to watch the whole meeting. Okay? There were several, you know, I think 80-something people spoke at this hearing, and some of them, most of them were taxi drivers, okay? Right. Some of them were Uberians, okay?
Uberians.
Let me finish, okay? And almost nobody got up there and said everything's fine, don't touch anything. They all got up there with stories of horrible stories about what's happening financially to them. Okay? All right? Right. And and here it is. Today is May 7th. It's been a month and a day since that hearing.
Yeah.
And the only word we've heard from the TLC about how they're going to help is they're going to force Uber to put a tip thing on their app. Okay?
Yeah, a tip thing on the app was they probably get a piece of the action off the tip.
Yeah, but the thing is this, you know, what are they waiting for? Are they going to do nothing? Was that meeting just for nothing, for no good reason? You know, just because it was required by law that they have that meeting? And it was, okay?
Yeah.
And
right.
are we talking to deaf ears, okay?
Well, that's a good question. The other thing I noticed at that little meeting, it was supposed about the economics of the taxi industry. And then they bowled it into a taxi and livery meeting. And I said to myself, wait a second, is this a legal meeting? Is this the meeting which is required by law? We're supposed to talk about taxi cab economics. Now, if you want to have a livery meeting, if you want to have a black car meeting, if you want to have a for-hire vehicle meeting, fine. Everybody, they do a lot of nothing at the TLC. They can arrange independent meetings for all these segments of their industry that they regulate. But all of a sudden, we went from a yellow cab economic meeting to everybody gets it up in front of the mic, which I thought was horrible. And at the same time, the Uber drivers had a lot to say, because the Uber drivers are like, look, at one point, do you stop the Uber cars? The Uber drivers are all new. They didn't know about a cap or anything. And they said, oh, we don't want the cap. We don't want to pay for a Uber medallion. Now they know what we're talking about. Now they know that they have 50,000 Uber cars versus 5,000 Uber cars, and these are people who go out maybe make 60, 70 bucks a day now, or 80 bucks. And that's what they were saying, not us. So I think the other thing, first of all, I'd like to get our meeting up there. And you're right, it's been a month and a day. It's been a month since this meeting. Where's the information? Where's some feedback? Yes or no, what's going on? I mean, go ahead. I mean, I'm just disgusted with the fact that they expanded that.
It appears as if nothing is going on.
Nothing is going on.
In other words, you know, this was, we're sorry to hear all this, but we're not going to do anything. We're just going to leave it the way it is. We're just going to leave it the way it is, and that's the way it is, and that's, you know, we don't care. You know, is that the case? I asked them right now, is that the case? Or are you going to make some moves to make everybody healthy? Okay?
Right.
We're all hurting. We're all sick. And we need help. We need a good doctor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the doctor?
Right.
Where's the doctor?
Well, I want to know. The doctor is usually on the meter inside the cab. That's where the doctor is.
Well, are they sending a doctor or are they sending an undertaker?
Well, I think there are segments inside the taxi commission which are fifth columnists. Under the radar people, and they're all drooling at working for Uber one day, and which I think should be illegal or made illegal, because you get people going from TLC straight to Uber that should have had at least 2 or 3 years in between to at least give the appearance of legitimacy for them changing public sector job into private sector job. I mean, there are a lot of public sector jobs which had that little float zone where you can't just jump into a private sector job that you've been regulating for years. So I think the whole thing is a little too cozy for my speed. And I'm glad your buddy Brad Gerstmann has filed a suit that I thought should have been filed years ago. Do you want to talk about that suit, what that is?
Well, I have read it, and to be honest with you, I don't see anything in there that's different from before other than Brad Gerstmann. Okay.
What do you like about him?
He kicks butt.
Uh?
He knows how to get his message across, and I think that the last lawyer that's worked on our cases wasn't as shockingly punchy as Brad Gerstmann is, and I think Brad Gerstmann will do a much better job in front of the judge.
Well, I'll tell you like that. You don't know what the case is. You don't know what you don't know what the clients want a lot of times. I mean, you could be the best lawyer in the world, but if your case is client driven, that also has a lot to do with it.
Well,
So before we go,
let me say this.
you know, reviewing people,
Let me talk
you
about
know,
the
it's
late.
interesting to
Let
see
me
that.
talk about the late Alan Decker. Okay, it did. I have been to traffic court with Alan Decker many times. Okay, and I tell you right now, it didn't matter whether you were guilty or innocent. He knew how to present the case so that the judge would say, case dismissed.
Right.
Okay, all right. I mean, there were time there was one time in particular where I was guilty of making this turn. I'll have to admit it, okay? We're going back almost 30 years ago. So I mean other than that, the times that I went to court with him were bogus tickets, and he knew how to get him dismissed. Okay, but even the one time that I was guilty, he knew how to fight it. Okay, all
Right.
right, okay. And when you got a good lawyer, and especially here, we got a good case. You know, we don't have to. We're not going up there guilty. We're going up there with a legitimate complaint. Okay,
Right.
our exclusive rights have been kidnapped.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, here's something else I was following through the other day. Back when the medallion was rocking and rolling, it hit seven figures for a while there. I'm just wondering if that was part of the scheme too, is make it so that medallion was pumped up to, let's say, $1 million for taxi owners, so they could A, auction new medallions directly from the city, and then B, use that number to tell other people, like an Uber who wants to start something on scale, say, hey, you guys should get into New York City because look at all the money these cabs are making. You could do your stuff. You know what I mean? It was like almost like a pump and dump scheme. And I'm just
Well,
wondering if that's going to be in the case too.
it's possible. You know, I don't know how you could prove that other than to waterboard some people. Okay,
Like it. I like it.
but look, the fact is that we were sold the Medallion Taxis have had the exclusive right to the street hails since 1937. Supposedly, we
Right.
still have it. Okay. But we don't have it, you know. And
Right.
this false recognition that tapping an app is not a street hail is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. The car is on the street. The people are on the street. Okay.
And you know
Nobody's
what they should talk about? You talk about video.
no.
What they should also do is these people, when they have the Uber, they hold the phone up as they're hailing, like the Uber car that they're looking for. So they hit the app and they literally hold up the phone in the traditional taxi hailing thing. So look, it's all a sham, in my opinion. And I think what happened, I can blame some of the so-called taxi big shot leadership because they sat on their asses and did nothing and squeezed the cabbies and the tired cabbies for every dollar they could get. Meanwhile, in the back of our minds, we're thinking, okay, well, they're going to meetings, they're lobbying, they're sending people to Albany to get representation. A lot of them didn't do anything. A lot of them doing anything, and when asked to do something, they did nothing. And now they want to change everything while everything. Basically, they wait till the last second to do anything. And you have to, in politics, plow the road. You just can't go out and say, okay, well, I want to do this and that. No, in politics, you have to do a little legwork. You have to work the phone. You have to pay people to do some work for you, which a lot of these guys don't want to do. I think you got a couple of guys in here who are more comfortable running a sweatshop than running a cab garage. So this is the problem now. Oh, and by the way, Uber, that's what I'm calling Uber. I'm calling it a high-tech sweatshop because I think that's basically what it is. You look at who's driving Uber, their drivers are coming back to the yellow cab in droves. That's why that Saturday day shift is going on. We have a lot of Uber drivers coming into the taxi garage to drive.
Well, what about the rest of the week? You know, Monday, Sunday through Friday.
Well, here's the thing. The Uber thing, it's a lot tougher for the cabbies at night than it is in the daytime now. And somebody told me the reason is you got people now who have bought Uber cars and they go into their Uber cars after work. So they work like an office job or a whatever job, 9 to 5. Then they grab an Uber car to work 4 or 5 hours at night. So you have the existing full-time Uber drivers now being swamped with an additional 15 to 20,000 part-time Uber drivers all squashing into Manhattan. And remember when we had the medallion stuff where we had to get EPA approval, Environmental Protection Agency approval, if we wanted to put like 100 medallions on the street? What happened to Uber? How did Uber avoid? Everybody's talking about, a green city, electric cars, blah, blah, blah. How did this get by the Environmental Protection Agency? What happened? What scam is that?
It's probably a loophole in the law.
Loophole in the law.
Where they say you have to do it for taxis, but you don't have to do it for other vehicles. Okay? I mean, you know, Uber is not only a car service, okay, or whatever you want to call it, okay, a bogus taxi, okay? They're also in the business of hiring, high-class lawyers to look for loopholes.
Their whole business model
is based on loopholes. Okay, now they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble, and I don't know all the particulars of this case, but they are being accused of stealing information from Google, you know, for their driverless vehicles. Okay, they're being investigated for crimes in that they did this thing called Grayball. Okay, mm-hmm. where when they went into a city, they would fool the authorities about where their cars were by showing cars on their app that weren't actually there. Okay,
really?
And they're being investigated by the Justice Department, the United States Justice Department, for criminal charges.
So back up. What is this Grayball? This is news to me. I'm looking at it on your great site, NYC Taxi News. We're on now.
Yeah.
What is this Grayball controversy again?
Well, I'll try to simplify it because I don't have all of the legal mumbo jumbo, as you call it. Okay, it's that. Right. They, from the very beginning, knew that they were going into municipalities and that they were going to break all the rules, okay? So in order not to get caught, they found a way through their app to deceive the authorities on where they were operating. So that basically the authorities were chasing ghosts.
Mm. Oh,
okay. All right.
So this is all alleged, but I mean, I'm looking at at your website. I see this story in Fox Business.
Yeah.
I see this story in the New York Times. This is not like Mike and Abe ragging about Uber. This is the big boys.
This is serious.
Yeah. So and you know, that's the other thing that didn't happen a year ago. I see a lot of mainstream publications now, like Forbes, the New York Times, Fox Business. There's a lot of people who were poo-pooing us for complaining a year ago. Now, finally, their eyes are open. And I'll tell you why I think their eyes are open, because they probably have a lot of investors in their mix who are asking questions like, excuse me, when do I get my money back? When do I see some of my money coming back from that $1 million I invested? So, this is probably what's going on now. And I hope that is what is going to help in the war against this nonsense, because the investors, I mean, forget about the lowly cabbie who's being thrown out of business by City Hall. What about the $1 million investor who invested in Uber, and now that $1 million investor wants to ask a few questions? It's like, well, listen, I really don't want to do this Uber thing anymore. Are you guys going public? If you're not going public, when do I get my money back? And where is my money? I'd like, at what point does Uber open their books? I mean, the city of New York sees our books every day. They can see how many fares we do, where the cabs go, blah, blah, blah. Nobody knows anything about Uber. Like you said, they're just floating around, and now you're saying not only don't they have monitoring with GPS like the yellow cabs, but now you're saying this gray ball thing is deceiving authorities. So if you were looking for a serial killer driving an Uber car, which, by the way, happened last year, you might have a gray ball situation where you're getting the wrong information about where your Uber cars are. So there's a lot of stuff there. And once again, I got to give a hat tip to our friend Abe here on the phone, because his website, you've been doing yeoman's work, working for pennies on the dollar. And I want to also thank Abe, and I want to thank the sponsors on this website because they're great. Who are some of the sponsors on the website? How's that for jumping topic?
Well, I like that, Mike. Let me go to the
segway.
Our sponsors are simple: the MTBOT, your friends at Checker, WB Taxi, King Brokerage out in Brooklyn, Taxi CPA, and I want everybody to know that these ads are renewing time and again. So that tells me just one thing: they're working. Okay.
They're working.
You know, nobody renews.
And now we've started. Yeah. We've started a brand new concept. If you don't want to go for the big money on the lead page, it's not really big money. It's extremely affordable on the lead page advertising for NYC Taxi News. You can go to page two. You can get a little ad box on page two where our friend Taxi Dave has his newspaper posted. Then there's a guy out in Brooklyn who's a new kid on the block.
Yeah.
And we the page two ads are very affordable, and I'm a moron. I should have one myself. I need a driver. I need a driver.
Uh-huh.
So all right. Any of you cabbies will be
your
shot.
You know, if you want to put an ad on NYC Taxi News, you can email us at nyctaxinews@aol.com, or call this number 845-478-5734 and leave us a message, and we will get back to you. Okay.
What number is that? That's you?
No, that's one of my Google numbers, okay?
That's a robot number.
It's not a robot. When people call that number and leave a message, I get an email, okay?
Right. You know, speaking of advertising, in fact, on the page two box thing on NYC Taxi News, there's a guy selling his medallion, an individual medallion, for $335,000, and I'll tell you, if I was a younger guy, like in my 30s or 40s, this would be something I would seriously look at, because if you're in New York City, what are the business are you going to get for $300,000? I mean, what are you going to buy, a deli or a pizzeria or a bar or some headache like that?
Well,
yellow cab medallion, it looks to me like a great deal for $300,000.
Okay. You know, I invite people to go to the website and support our advertisers. Okay.
For the advertisers, yeah. And like I said, okay. I want to personally thank the advertisers. You have the fleets talking about their yellow license for free on the top of the list. Then you have Checker Management, again, at 718-361-6300, of which I have been driving one of their cabs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You have WB Taxi. He's a new kid, WB Taxi, 729-7777. King Brokerage out in Brooklyn. And then if you go to page two, we have another guy out in Brooklyn who's a new kid. And just you owe it to yourself, if you're a fan of the show, to just look at some of these advertisers. And even if their price is similar to someone else, just bear in mind that they're helping to bring this show to you, the cab driver and the cab people who care. So you want to support the people who take care of you.
And you might want to mention that WB Taxi is looking for medallions.
Looking for medallions. Okay,
so that's the guy with the blue. That's news that we haven't heard in a couple of years. Okay.
This is the guy who wants medallions to run cabs. So there you go. I tell you, the cabbies are coming back, and the one thing in a strange way that I can thank Uber for, dare I say thank them for anything, but my weekly lease fee is, I'd say, about 30% less than it was 2 or 3 years ago. And for those cabbies who survived and weathered the storm, it's a great time to drive a yellow cab. You got deals now. And it's a very cyclical industry. And right now, the cabbie is the king. So when you head into one of these advertisers, They're going to greet you with palm fronds. They're just going to hug you and like I said, they're going to want you there. So you might want to lock into a deal now, because it looks like these, dare I say, victims from driving for Uber are coming into the yellow cab garages. So you might want to get into one of our advertisers' places and get your deal going, because pretty soon it looks like it's going to be back to normal, which will be interesting to see if that reflects into a higher medallion price and a higher monthly lease price for retired cabbies who rent their medallions, right, Ed?
Some of these people owe a lot of money, and they're finding it hard to pay. Okay, they're
right.
Okay, so you know, hopefully the lease rates will go back up. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where we need help. This is where we need help from the TLC, and you know, and this is where they've been totally silent. Okay.
Right.
You know, a 20% fare increase would help that situation. Okay.
It historically, it always has helped. It has bumped up the medallion price. It has put money in the driver's pocket, because they say, oh, well, the cab expense. Listen, what about the actual living expenses in New York City? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize you got cab drivers like yourself. You used to commute from upstate New York so you could drive a cab in New York City, but that was before the big whoopee-doo real estate market that we have now. Can you imagine just being a regular cab driver? I mean, I've been lucky enough to hang out in the family house here out in Queens, but can you imagine looking for an apartment and you're a cab driver? How are you going to do that? It's impossible.
I don't know.
What are you going to do? You got to rent a room?
You know, the last apartment that I rented in New York City was on Ocean Avenue in Brooklyn. Okay, and that was in the late 1970s. Okay?
Right.
And then I was paying close to $1,000 a month. Okay?
What, on Ocean Avenue?
I'm talking about the late 1970s. We're going back.
Wait. So, I mean, how big was the apartment? I mean, what, $1,000 a month in 1970s?
Well, it actually was $850 a month. I said close to 1,000. Okay?
Was it like a huge apartment?
It was, let's see, there was a kitchen, there was a living room, there was two bedrooms, right. I think. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And that was it. It was on Ocean Avenue and Avenue H, just off of Glenwood Road. Okay?
Between right by Ocean Parkway.
Yeah, Ocean Avenue is Ocean Avenue, and Ocean Parkway is Ocean Parkway. Okay?
Right, but they're close. They're close.
Yeah, they're close. You can walk from one to the other. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Ocean Avenue goes down, and it starts at Prospect Park. Okay? Just at the intersection of Empire Boulevard and Flatbush Avenue. Okay? If you're going south, you make a right onto Ocean Avenue. Okay?
And that's where it begins.
Okay? And it runs all the way down into Sheepshead Bay and ends at Emmons Avenue, where I don't know if the famous Lundy's is still there. Okay? I think I read somewhere where they're not around anymore. You wouldn't know that, would you?
They might be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll do some homework, but it doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah.
At least out there. Anyway.
Well, where it ends on Emmons Avenue is the bay, Sheepshead Bay. Okay? And, you know, you can see the water there and the fishing boats come in over there. Okay? There are a lot of clam bars along Emmons Avenue. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. And,
used to be a lot of wise guys over there, too.
I'm sure the wise guys are still around, you know, but, you know, just don't mess with them, all right? You know?
Not me. I love the wise guys. God bless them.
Yeah.
Whatever they make you, they deserve every penny. That's
yeah, okay, but I never had any problem with them, okay?
Yeah.
You know, in fact...
I don't know if the Blasio's going to give them a 2% raise or not.
In fact, I'll tell you a little story. There used to be this pool room on Utica Avenue and East New York Avenue, diagonally across the street from the White Castle that's over there.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that, Mike?
Well, as the Haitians call it, Chateau Blanc, yes.
Okay, and there was a pool room there where I learned my billiard skills, in that pool room. It was called The Pit, okay?
The Pit,
okay, because you had to go downstairs into the pool room. The official name of it was President Bowling and Billiards, okay? And I was 16 years old, in 19, what was it, 64, something like that, right? And
In eight, what is it, in 1864?
no, 1964, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
And I was in the pool room one day when my uncle, right, who lived in Brownsville, right, which is not that far away from the Brownsville line, which is East 98th Street, where there's an elevated subway on East 98th Street, okay? And he comes into the pool room one day and he says, "You need any cigarettes?" And I said, "No." He says, "Your mother need any cigarettes?" I said, "Well, go ask her." I mean, I used to smoke cigarettes. I quit. It's over 30 years since I quit, but I did smoke in those when I was 16 years old, like a good kid, right? And and I remember saying to myself, "Where's he getting these cigarettes?" Right? Where's he get? Where? And then everybody's seen the movie Goodfellas, right?
Oh, yeah.
And and how they hijacked this cigarette truck, right? And they tell the driver to get out of the truck, and they tell him something like, "You don't know who we are," right? He says, "Yeah, right. I don't know you. I never saw you before," right? And that's when I said to
Correct.
myself, that's where he was getting the cigarettes,
From the good fellows.
Yeah, from the good fellows who used to hang out in Brownsville, right?
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah.
Okay, that was one of their main turfs, Brownsville, right? And I go, oh my
Right.
God, that's where he was getting the cigarettes. It took me 40 years to realize where he was getting those cigarettes from, right?
Right.
Okay, so you,
What's interesting,
yeah.
ironic, is that you look at the wise guys historically. Let's say with their sanitation business, what happened if all of a sudden Uber introduced Uber sanitation and started rolling Uber garbage trucks down the streets of Brownville back in the 70s? How do you think that would work out?
I don't know, but I would think it would be more likely that they might introduce discount cigarettes.
I don't know. I mean, the point being is the boys did a pretty good job back in the day of defending their turf.
Yeah.
Unlike our guys who are so-called leadership, we have a few diamonds in the rough. You got guys like, I don't want to say their name because then they'll be in the hot seat, but you have a lot of guys who are doing a great job, but you have so many like blobs, like what was the guy in Star Wars, like Jabba the Hutt. You have a lot of Jabba the Hutts in the taxi business who just sit on their ass and do nothing except shake down cabbies and gouge them for every nickel they can. So those guys, I wish somewhere in this whole taxi crisis that the industry could have gotten rid of these guys, but they're very good at just surviving, and you can't get rid of them. There have been a few guys who I thought for sure would have gone out of business or been thrown out of the business, but they're still around, and they still do. They're just like an anchor weight on the entire industry, and I think you got to start looking at how to get rid of these guys legally because they're just a complete waste of time. They don't do anything for anybody, in my opinion.
Well, it is what it is, okay? I mean,
Exactly. It
you
is what
know,
it is. Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
look, all
And
I.
I'm sure their contemporaries would echo my
Yeah.
sentiment. If they didn't want the headaches of saying it in public, like me, the knucklehead does. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Look, all I want is for things to be fair, okay? That our exclusive rights be enforced and returned to us, okay? That it is recognized that these other vehicles are infringing on our exclusive rights, okay?
Yeah.
It's not rocket science, okay? Somebody on the
Well, we've
street.
gone beyond the infringe. We've gone
Yeah.
way beyond the infringe point in the equation, and I think they're just hell bent on destroying our business. And
You
a
know,
lot of these Uber rides aren't even supporting themselves. They like you said, they're being supported by investors in all these schemes, where like 60% of these Uber rides that the passengers get are being either financed by investors, outside investors, Saudi Arabia. And unlike the yellow cab business, where pretty much if we ask for a fare increase, it's because you know, we're running the business, we're running the show here, and we have to go to the city hat in hand to get a few scraps and crusts of bread, whereas Uber is legally allowed to charge double and triple. It's a ripoff, in my opinion.
It's criminal.
Yeah. There you go. It'd be nice if the courts would think that way.
Well, they wanted to legislate against surge pricing, and what happened?
What happened is, yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know where they get.
There was a councilman, Greenfield, I think his name is, who said specifically, uh-huh. "We're going to stop your surge pricing." He said those mm-hmm. words at a city hall meeting that I watched. You know what happened?
Right.
You know what happened?
Nothing.
You know, right. We're going to stop. You're going to stop the surge pricing. It's still going on. There's still the surge pricing, right?
You got it.
You know. Yep. Okay. You know that. It's been 2.5 years since he said that. Okay.
Well, like I said, the one good thing. And that's the other scary thing with this city is there's a big election year where a lot of the city council members are up for election and re-election, and de Blasio is up for election and re-election simultaneously. And what scares me is where is the competition? The TLC says, oh, we encourage competition. Okay, where's the competition for mayor? Where's the competition for city council? Where are the people who could just simply step up and run for office in this city? I think maybe it's gotten so scary that people are afraid to do it. I mean, that might be a possibility, Mike, right there too.
I don't know, Mike, but you know, you kept asking about where is the rent too high guy, right?
Well,
I don't know where he is, but what we need is somebody to run for mayor with the traffic is too thick.
Right.
That's it. That's
it. The traffic
is too damn thick. We can't get anywhere. Okay?
Too damn bad. The traffic is too damn bad.
Okay?
Right.
You know, I mean...
I love it.
Yeah. The traffic is too damn thick. That's it. You know...
Right.
You know, I mean, you probably make more on a fare from waiting time and traffic than from the distance now.
Well, thank God for waiting time. This is the problem with me. I'm like... On the Taxi Dave show, I'm the good old JFK Mike.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been burned on this JFK flat rate because there's like three guys putting tunnel tiles or tiles in the tunnel at the Midtown Tunnel on a Saturday night. Something that should take a month, it's taking like 2 years to do, and I'm stuck on a flat rate. It's not 52, it's not fair to the drivers. And also sometimes the flat rate works against the passengers, because I think it's supposed to be a metered rate, and this flat rate was, time is gone, unless you want to make the flat rate more, but I mean, just so like I said, I can't tell you how many times I got burned with the flat rate with bad traffic, and I think it's time to look at some of the economics for the taxi business, and it jumps back to the election. I mean, we really have to start thinking outside the box and say, look, I don't know who these people are anymore. I mean, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I don't even know who these people are. They say progressive. I think they're just a bunch of hustlers. You know, they get in the office, they do whatever they want.
Mike, what should the flat rate be? If they revise the flat rate, what should it be?
$100.
Seriously? $100? $75 wouldn't be enough?
Well, I'll tell you. I would say... The surcharge should go up. Right now they have an inky dinky little $4 surcharge at the rush hour when the traffic is horrible from JFK. So that surcharge at the rush hour should be $10, because I mean that's how much I'm getting screwed on with my hour and 20 minute cab ride from JFK into Manhattan mm-hmm. for the same ride that at night takes about 25 minutes. So at least compensate me, make me feel a little bit better with a $10 bill at the height of rush hour, because I know it's not even going in my pocket. It's just going to offset the horrible traffic. And that's another thing that de Blasio did that's messing up the city. I look around. There's one person, one car, one person, one car, one person. At what point does he make a high-occupancy lane going into the city, some group riding for passenger cars? All over the city you have these people, one person, one car, one person. It's a joke. All these people have their little cars now. They're driving around $2 a gallon gasoline, the revenge of $2 a gallon gasoline.
Well,
disgusting.
Well, the group riding is Uberpool, okay? And from what I understand, most people hate it.
Well, not only most people hate it, but well, look at the MTA money. They said the MTA revenues for last year, are the last fiscal year they looked at, they're down 6%. 6% down MTA revenues, and they didn't give the MTA a rate of fare increase. So their money is going all down the drain. And this is all because of this Uber mess. Ridiculous. It's insane time here in New York City.
Well, let's hope that we get somebody to run for mayor that will run on the ticket of all of this, nonsense. I don't know what to call it. You know, total mess.
It's beyond nonsense. I think you got some people looking at the criminal activity. I mean, it's going beyond nonsense. Now they're looking at criminal activity.
Well, I'm glad they're looking at it, you know.
Well, I don't know if they're going to do anything, but they're looking at it.
Well, no, what I'm saying is if it's been there for a while, it's about time they're looking at it, you know.
About time. Overdue. Well, we've been screaming in the wilderness for the last year or two. And then we have, I call her chairperson Nosy.
I know.
Her name is Joshi, and she's like, We encourage competition. Droning on about TLC, the taxi commission, encouraging competition. How much competition did she have when she got the chairperson job at the taxi commission?
None. Zero.
I didn't see a whole lot of hearings and competition for the chairperson.
Let me say something about the competition. Your competition has crippled the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, our so-called competition.
Right. You know, we what makes her think that she's the only one that knows what's right?
Right. Oh, listen, forget about her. The good thing is now we also have some London cabbies that want to do the Mike and Abe show, and they have an association, a big association over there. So with your permission, I'd like to get them on the show in the very near future. Is that okay?
Yeah, we have to figure out how to do that, with the equipment-wise. Okay.
So you're on board with that.
I love to have guests on the show. We had Carolyn on a few times. I asked her to be on today, but I haven't heard back from her. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
You know, what can I say? Can you get a call from London?
I can get a call from London. I'm going to ask I got to get the time thing done because I don't want to do a show at 4 o'clock in the morning.
We'll do it now. Let them worry about what time it is in London. Actually, London is later than us. So if we're doing a show at 10 a.m., I think it's a 6-hour difference. It's 4 p.m. there.
Okay.
So that's the window. Okay. The thing is this, you know, they have to call you, and you have to call me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to call you, and you have to call them. You know, I cannot do a three-way call with my computer, okay, which is what I used to record.
We'll figure it out.
Okay? You know, I'd love some advice from anybody out there that can help, okay? But
they're on the front lines also. There are a couple of cities where Uber is just leeching off established taxi businesses, and I don't want to be a taxi snob, but New York City and London are the two big cities that Uber has gotten their hooks into. Now, some of the other cities had like casual cab stuff,
mm-hmm.
all right, but New York City and London are those are two cities that Uber has like zeroed in on to steal our business, and it'd be interesting to see how the London cabbies have reacted. And one thing the guy told me, he said they've had a couple of big demonstrations, and the press has been almost afraid to cover their demonstrations. So I'm just wondering if the press in general is afraid of Uber, which is disgusting.
Yes.
But
what else?
So we'll see what we can get these London guys on the air. It'd be very interesting to do a Mike and Abe, special Mike and Abe show with these guys. Or gals, whoever's running the show there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what else
we got? Is that enough show?
We're up to like 46, 47 minutes. Okay.
Oh, okay. Let's kill it because I got to do stuff. Can we do that?
Okay. So then let's say again, visit our sponsors. Okay. We don't have to repeat
them. Okay. Rattle them off.
All right. MTBOT, Checker, WB Taxi, King Brokerage, Taxi CPA, and your friend out right. in Brooklyn there. What is it? Hold on, let me get to the
taxi,
page.
NYC Taxi Group.
Yeah, Taxi Group, NYC Taxi Group. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, and you know, that's it for now. You know. Okay. I was gonna say, you know, before you mentioned Uber opening their books, they're gonna open their books the day after Trump shows his tax returns.
Well, the IRS has all Trump's information. So
I know.
Everybody wants
but,
to see Trump's
tax returns. I'm wondering if the IRS has all of
the IRS has his information.
I'm wondering if
it's all there.
I'm wondering if the IRS has all of Uber's information.
We can only hope.
Well, from what I understand, they have a lot of money in other places than the United States.
Oh, okay. Really? Well, I know they have a lot of, you know, irons in the fire. So I don't know where their money is in America or if their money is offshore or where Uber keeps
their
money.
You know, one of the big questions is if you're stationed in the United States and your home address is in the United States and you're making money in other places, do you have to pay tax on that money in the United States?
You would think if you're directly or indirectly making money with U.S. operations that you would be, you know, somewhere along the line kicking back a little something to the house.
Yeah, but you know
something. But I mean, the game now is, go ahead.
You know, Seb, they're losing $3 billion a year, so they're probably not paying any taxes.
Yeah, that's the new America is.
Yeah.
You can go on the internet and get, what do they call it, troll nest.
Yeah.
Like a nest of trolls.
Right.
To keep saying you're worth $60 billion while your company is losing $3 billion a year. Hey, if I said I want to sell my company for $60 billion, how much does it make? No, it doesn't make anything. It loses $3 billion a year. Would you cut me a check right away?
No. Well, maybe I should start losing the $3 billion and then be able to sell it for $60
billion. Yeah, call your partner and say, Gary, I got a great idea. Since we're losing so much money, I'm going to sell you my business for 20 times the amount that I'm losing per year.
Okay, Mike. You know, that's it.
Yeah. Thank
you for tuning in.
I'd like to thank everybody out there in radio land, internet land, whatever you want to call this thing. But thank you very much for the popularity. The website's rocking and rolling. People know the show and just want to give a shout out. Check out the ads on the website. Also, our friend Taxi Dave has his paper on the site in PDF format. He's on the air, and he's giving us a shout out on his show on WOR Sunday nights. So everything is wonderful as far as our side of the track.
And you will be there tonight?
Yes, I'm going to do my bit on the Taxi Dave show on WOR Sunday night. And you know, your website is, he gives you a shout out on his show every Sunday night.
I
you know that, right?
Well, usually. Not every single time.
It's quid pro quo.
Okay.
I'll make sure.
But you make sure
I'll babysit.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Bye, everybody.
And I'm going to try and get the London guys on.
Okay.
I'm going to get the London guys on. So
bye.
Listen for that, folks.
Goodbye to London. Goodbye to Paris. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right. Paris.
Au revoir.
Paris, we love you, Paris.
Yes.
They got a big, weird election just like we had. So yeah. We'll see what happens with Paris.
Okay.
All right.
All right. See you next week,
catch
folks.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.